This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
I have Jacob up to 179 yards now, 28 carries. Wow.
Big time night, big time year.
Of course, four touchdowns already, and if they hand it to him, good chance for a fifth.
First and goal at the one. He'll get it into the end zone. Touchdown number five for Jacob Dixon on a history-setting night for the junior tailback. He's the all-time single-season rushing leader, and now he has five touchdowns here in Week 9 against Litchfield.
WSMI Sports Saturday is brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. Alan Poganpole, your country financial agent in Raymond. Security National Bank, with locations in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro. Kurtz 24-hour heavy and light-duty towing in Litchfield. Hillsboro Area Hospital, your front door to a world of healthcare. Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. St. Louis Regional Airport in East Alton. State Farm Insurance Agent Mark Steeren in Litchfield. Hillsboro Energy. Country Financial Agent Nathan Clements in Nokomis. Nokomis Tire and Auto Repair, a name you can trust. And by German Seed and Chemical LTD.
It's all about M-O-N-E-Y.
And now it's time for Sports Saturday on WSMI FM 106.
And the football playoffs are a week away as the regular season wrapped up last night. A lot of exciting action around the listening area. David Jenkins in Studio A. Tim Mize with you here on the Saturday before Halloween. And Carlinville has a new all-time single-season rushing leader. Jacob Dixon broke the record last night on his way to five touchdowns, leading Carlinville to the win. And we will be talking with Jacob Dixon along with Carlinville head coach Chad Easterday a little bit later this morning here on WSMI Sports Saturday. But right now, David, we want to welcome in Myrna Moore and Marty Benning as they are here to talk about the Montgomery County Fair Association. And they've got a big event coming up on November 7th.
Yes, we're pleased to be joined by Myrna Moore and Marty Benning. And ladies, welcome to Sports Saturday. Thank you for joining us this morning. And why don't you tell us a little bit while you're here? I got a call from you, Myrna. I think it was yesterday, and got some exciting news about your trivia night and silent auction coming up.
We did. We've been out trying to collect some items for the silent auction, mm-hmm. and Wednesday we had donated to us an autographed football. I'm sure it's the Oregon Ducks mm-hmm. football helmet of Marcus Mariota, yeah. the 2014 Heisman Trophy winner.
And so far he looks like he's going to be the runaway favorite for the Rookie of the Year in the NFL too. So yeah, very
hurt, though.
He is hurt though, so we'll see. But yeah, very, very good time to get an item like that while his stock is very high. Now, you said that it was an anonymous donation, and we like to keep it that way. Were you surprised when you got it, I guess? Did it just kind of come out of nowhere?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we didn't even know what to do. How can we advertise this in a two-week span to get it out so that everyone knows we have a wonderful donation like this? And not only would it be a great sports item to have to put up on your shelf or, you know, in your office, your bar, your whatever, but since the money will be going to the Montgomery County Fair, we are mm-hmm. a 501c3 organization, so it's a tax write-off, too.
Sure. And obviously you could probably get more details later on, but was there going to be a bidding limit set on this item?
Right. We will start the bidding at $500. We will do this several ways. You can come that night. We will have an auctioneer at 7 o'clock that will auction this off. Mm-hmm. But if you're from a distance away or you already have plans for that evening, we have several numbers that you can call to make a bid, or you can send it to the fair's address at box 182, Butler, Illinois.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And the event will come up on November the 7th. Where will it be?
It will be at the Hillsboro Lions Club. And be watching the newspapers and flyers for more information. Exactly what kind it is, a Schutz carbon fiber ProLine helmet. So it's the nice one. It's not some little bitty mini replica or
it's
whatever.
It's local too, being shut.
Yes, it is. So it's going to be a real nice addition to our several other nice items that we have at the silent auction. So choose to come in person, choose to call in, or choose to mail a bid. Yeah. Either way.
And obviously going to a great cause with the County Fair Association.
Right. I think everyone knows that our funding has been suspended. We don't know what that means. And, of course, we had two or three nights last year at the fair that were pretty much rained out.
Yeah.
So we decided instead of sitting around boo-hooing about, what are we going to do for money, to get out and do some money raisers
sure.
this winter.
Sure.
And Myrna and Marty, we always talk about when it gets to be fair season how there's so much that goes into putting on the fair. It's not just you show up a couple weeks before the fair, throw some things out there, and see how it works. This is really a full-time job.
Just about. We have to have our letter of intent, which tells the state exactly what we're going to be doing by the end of December. So we usually start planning next year's event almost before this year's fair has started.
So you're pretty much working a year ahead each year.
Yes.
Yes, you have to be.
Yeah.
And it's real hard to put in your declaration of intent mm-hmm. when the state hasn't told you what rules to play by yet.
Yeah, that does make it challenging, yeah. doesn't it?
It does. We had a meeting up in Springfield last Sunday, and we just kind of looked at them, and their response was, we don't know. We just don't know.
Yeah, we had lots of questions, but very few answers. And they're in the same boat we are. They haven't been told yet either what the new rules are going to be or how they're going to do things. But we still have to send in all the paperwork, and we have to send all our reports and stuff in, which takes a lot of time mm-hmm. to get ready. Now, also that night at the Trivia Bowl and Silent Auction, we're going to be serving grilled pork chops and
Ooh.
Pork patties and pies and cakes. And
all homemade pies and cakes.
Game changer. That's a game changer right there.
That is. That is. Because the Montgomery County Fair can boast many things, but one of them is our great cooks.
Homemade food. Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
We work hard, but we eat hard.
Myrna Moore and Marty Benning joining us here on WSMI Sports Saturday talking about their Silent Auction and Trivia Bowl coming up on November the 7th. And ladies, if people would like to get involved in bidding on this Marcus Mariota autographed helmet, how do they do it?
Start by calling Myrna at 217-272-4489 or Marty Benning at 217-825-7952.
Sounds good. That comes up November the 7th. And can people get tickets ahead of time?
No, it's... You can pre-register if you want to bring a team in for the Trivia Bowl by calling James Elam at 556-2420. But, unless you're wanting to make a bid, just come that night for our silent auction, eat a sandwich, walk around, make some bids. Even if you don't like playing the trivia, it'll be a fun evening,
oh, yeah.
And what else you going to do on a Saturday
and
night?
And tables still are still open for the
Yeah,
trivia?
I think we can set up for probably 12 to 15
okay.
tables. I'm thinking we're up to about 8 or 9 now, so the
and
more
is,
the merrier.
Is it a cost per table or cost per person?
Cost per person, $10 per person, okay. up to 10 to a table.
All right, sounds good.
All right, Myrna Moore, Marty Benny, thank you so much for coming in. And if anybody has any questions, they can call out here to the radio station,
oh, yeah.
and David and I will direct them to the proper channel. But ladies, it comes up on November the 7th. Thank you so much for coming in, and come back anytime.
Thank you for having us.
All right, we'll be back with Chad Easterday and the new all-time single-season rushing leader at Carlinville High School, Jacob Dixon. That follows these messages on Sports Saturday. And welcome back to WSMI Sports Saturday here. The regular season for high school football is done, and the Carlinville Cavaliers close out the year on a 5-game winning streak, finish up 7-2. And joining us on the phone right now is the head coach of Carlinville, Chad Easterday. And Chad, that was a very good road win last night at Litchfield. Panthers, of course, needed a win to get into the postseason. What a second half that your Cavaliers played last night.
Yeah, I mean, we made a few halftime adjustments. Thought coaching staff once again did a great job at halftime and adjusting, and our kids making a few subtle changes. We had moved Brady Eagle off from an end down inside. You know, Simmons was giving us such a fit between the two guards in the first half, and Brady controlled both A gaps, I thought, last night. And, you know, it was a good win for us. To be honest with you, it was a good test. It was a good playoff run getting in there. It was a playoff atmosphere, that type of thing.
Coach, obviously everybody knows how potent your offense is, but talk a little bit about your defense as well, especially over this five-game winning streak to end the regular season, how well the defense played over that stretch.
You know, I think our team in general, you know, we were trying to find that puzzle piece that we've talked about, and I think the defense just kept getting a little more solid there, a little more solid there as we go through there. Kids started understanding a little more. We changed a few things from last year, and I think the unit itself just kept getting better, and it was really kind of our backbone for us as we transitioned with some injuries that kept us afloat, I think, and made that something that we could handle. And then we have a lot of speed on defense, and their ability to gang tackle, I think, is the difference in it.
Jed, you mentioned the injuries, and these were injuries to key players, your top offensive lineman. You lost your quarterback twice. So as you look back now, 9 games of the regular season, how proud are you of this club for overcoming what they did? Adversity early in the year, too.
Well, you can't say enough about them. I mean, every week it seemed like we had a hurdle to get over of some type, whether it be a small one or two big injuries. You know, we lost another kid in the preseason that didn't even get a chance to play at wide receiver and DB. You know, I think it's a contribute to them on their commitment level to just stay the course, as we've been talking about for the last 9 weeks. Stay the course, keep tackling, keep doing the little things, and it'll all work itself out in the end, and it has. So very, very proud of them.
And Chad, I don't know how you thought of it last night, but to me, Jarrett looked as comfortable as I've seen him in his varsity action last night.
Yeah, I think I think he took a little bit to get settled in there. I mean, he did a wonderful job. I can't say enough about him, both as a dad and as a football coach, I think, when we've said that before about others. But, you know, I mean, it was his turn, and Adam Walton ended up getting hurt, and we tried some things, and he just settled in there, and I thought he looked comfortable reading our option last night. I thought he laid through the ball pretty well, and, you know, our offensive line helped him out, and our running game, and I think they complement each other really, really well.
Well, maybe for the first time all season, the first play of the game, Jacob Dixon actually gets thrown for a loss on the play. So you're in second and long, and then all of a sudden, Jarrett throws a strike for a 51-yard gainer.
Well, I mean, when you have an athlete like Jacob Dixon, he is going to get attention. You know, we talk about that all the time with him and with our offensive line and how they have to block 8 people in the box all the time. And once again, when you have 8 people in the box, you have a pass protection issue as well. So it's hard to get the ball out sometimes and that sort of thing. And Jarrett will be the first to admit he's not the greatest running quarterback that Cardinals ever seen. So, you know, getting the ball out quickly is something he's been working on the last couple weeks. And he made a nice play, and Connor Emmons had a great route. And I think we caught them a little bit off guard there instead of trying to pound it at them for a quarter or so. It really loosened them up.
Jed, of course, running backs is kind of what Carlinville has always been known for, and the fact that Jacob Dixon has now rushed for more yards in a regular season than any of them, just talk to that a little bit if you could.
Well, when I got hired 8 years ago, Lou Finero said, well, you're always going to have speed at Carlinville, and I don't know if that's true or not true, and the running back history just keeps going on and on here. You know, he's just a phenomenal athlete, I think, and, you know, we were talking about on the way home on the bus, he just has that ability to make it, it's never easy to tackle him, and you never see him get hard. And I think those two things are what makes him go. He's always moving forward. He's always got that little extra jump cut in him, and you never, ever get a good, solid hit on him. And he's just a tough running back, and, you know, in a long list of them at Carlinville, and he happens to be on the top line, and well-deserving. He works very hard at it, and our offensive line did a good job last night again. So, you know, I'm blessed, I can tell you that. I don't know what else you can say. I mean, it's just been a great run for him personally.
Well, I could put you in a foul mood, Chad. Let's talk about the IHSA. You going to get a home playoff game at 7-2?
Thanks, Tim.
You're welcome.
You want it politically correct? I have no idea. You guys know me. I don't do it. I did it a week ago, and I think I had 50 teams at either 4-4 or 5-3 that you had to predict if they were going to end up 6-3 or 5-4. And we are so close on the bubble that being 2A or 3A, which throws another variable because I'm a science teacher in there. I just quit. I had about 10 sheets of paper, and I said they'll let me know at 8:15 on Friday night. I think it's a 50-50 chance. I think the win last night really helped us. Being in a close conference, Tim, as you know, helps us because we're going to have some playoff points there. So I think that helps us a little bit. And Vandalia's loss, I didn't predict. So, I mean, that was one that didn't go my way. So I think you could see, you know, like a Roxana go in the mix and then where that line is on the state. So I just wait till – I tell you what, at 5:15 I can give you a good guess, but not until then.
And what will you guys be doing tonight as a team as the pairings are announced?
Normally the kids get together. They always get together at one house or another, and my coaching staff normally gets together. So it's now that the invention of text and everything else, so that's kind of been our routine the last couple of years, which is a little different than before, only because now with the technology that we have, no one drives anymore. So the ability to trade film is almost instantaneous. So I told the kids I think it's better for them to have a party because the minute we get to know who we play, within 20 minutes I can be breaking down film and the coaches' meeting can start and all that good stuff. So the last couple of years we've done it that way. The kids kind of have their own little party, and I don't have to kick them out and all that good stuff. So that's been our routine the last couple of years.
Sounds very good. Chad, congratulations on yet another playoff berth, and we will talk to you on Monday night on the road to the Calb, sir.
Thank you, guys.
All right, Chad Easterday, the head coach of the Carlinville Cavaliers. And as far as 7-2 records go, they're not all created equal. That is an impressive 7-2 mark for Carlinville.
Yeah, and I should have asked him, you know, obviously he's had better teams record-wise throughout his coaching career, but this might be one of the more impressive seasons that he's had as the head coach of the Carlinville.
They've been through a lot this year, and they have come out on the other side at 7-2.
And they look better than they were at the start of the season, which obviously, you know, would be typical of, you know, your average football team, but the fact that they lost who they lost at the time that they lost them is just phenomenal. It speaks to the job that Chad has done as head coach of the Carlinville Cavaliers. And as we mentioned, Carlinville did get the win last night over Litchfield, so they're 7-2 on the season. They won that one 40-21. We'll go ahead and go over some more score updates for you from the South Central Conference. Pena finished 9-0 on the season. They defeated Hillsborough 41-14. So Hillsborough, with that loss, eliminated from the postseason. Gillespie defeated Staunton last night for the Miners' third win of the season. They finished 3-6. Staunton 0-9. Final score of that one, 46-12. As Chad mentioned, Greenville pulls off the win over Vandalia, 50-49. So Greenville, I heard they went for two to get the win at the end of the game. So Greenville edges out Vandalia, and then Roxana defeats Southwestern, 52-20. I think we're scheduled for a break now, I believe. All right, we're gonna go ahead and take a break. We'll be back with more Sports Saturday on WSMI FM 106.
We are back here on WSMI Sports Saturday, Fighting Illini football this afternoon, hosting Wisconsin live at 1:30 here on FM 106. And we know this for sure, David. Next week, North Mac is going to be hosting somebody in the opening round of the playoffs after they wrapped up their undefeated regular season at 9-0. And joining us on the phone right now is North Mac head coach Shane Owsley. And Shane, a lot has actually happened to you since we talked last time. You've won two ball games. You went down to Chester in week 8 and picked up a huge win. So let's start there first, that huge win you had in week 8 at Chester.
It was an opportunity where we kind of, you know, told our kids that it was basically a trial run on a playoff game. We got to get on the Cavallo bus and make a 2.5-hour, 3-hour drive down and play a really, really quality opponent. And, again, it was something that I think is really, really going to benefit us as we go along the season.
And the way that game played out, it wound up being a playoff type of game just in terms of it was basically a one-possession game.
It did. It really did. We came out, and again, I don't know if it was a bus ride or nerve or what it was, but we ended up only running about 13 plays in the first half with turnovers, and we kind of dug ourselves a hole. But again, to give credit to our guys, we fought back, we came back, and I think, like I said, after running 13 plays in the first half, I think we ended up rushing for about 450 yards in the second half. So we were able to get things going a little bit, and we just kind of found how important it was to take care of the football.
Coach, obviously your goal at the beginning of the season was probably just get it, play well enough, get into the postseason. Did you ever envision a perfect season, or when did you really think a perfect season was possible?
Well, I think that's something that we're always going to talk about, you know, but obviously talking about it, being about it are two totally different things. So You know, once we got things going and we got kids into the weight room this summer and they started talking about it, I think once we got to that first game and we saw how we reacted after going down early to New Berlin, I thought we could be a pretty good team. Now, obviously, with the conference that we play in, you never assume or think that, you know, undefeated is a possibility. But I think once we knocked off Williamsville and I saw the confidence that our kids had finally, I thought, you know, us going undefeated was definitely a possibility.
Jane, how will you guys approach this coming week here? The playoffs, it's different, but yet in a lot of ways it's got to be the same, doesn't it?
It definitely is. You know, I think we're definitely creatures of habit, so it's not going to be a situation where we change things too much. I think I've, you know, done that before. You know, the first time when I was at Northwestern, I tried to, you know, make practice 30, 45 minutes longer, and, you know, we were asking kids to do a lot of things that they hadn't done in the past. And we definitely don't function very well when we start doing things differently. So we're going to continue to go about things, you know, just the way we have the entire season. And we're looking at it as we gave the kids 24 hours to celebrate. We have a whole new season starting, you know, come tonight when we find out who our opponent's going to be. And, you know, it's a situation where we can't come out flat because obviously it's you have one bad night and you don't have another night. So that's going to be a situation where hopefully our kids will see that, react to that, and hopefully come out strong and ready to go from the start.
And obviously sitting at 9-0, you're more than likely, probably 99% chance you get a home playoff game. It's been a while since that has happened for North Mac or Verdon. Just talk about what you expect from the home crowd next week in that first playoff game.
Oh, it's hard to imagine. We've had such huge community support from day one. Obviously, as our win total has gone up, so has our attendance. So I can't say enough about the Verdon-Girard communities. Both of those towns, along with Thayer and Millwood, everybody, they've really come together. You can't go through any of those communities without seeing Panther signs and everything else up. So it's been a really, really cool environment. And again, with a home playoff game coming, I'm sure it's just going to be even bigger and better than it has been thus far this season.
And Shane, have you or anybody on your staff, have you tried to get into the mind of the IHSA at all and maybe try to guess who you might potentially play?
I was actually just doing that as you called, and unfortunately, I think we're going to pull another conference opponent, even though we were going to try and avoid that this year, but if my math is correct, I think we're probably going to see Pleasant Plains again.
Well, that'll be interesting.
And I guess from one perspective as a coaching staff, it's nice because you're familiar, but at the same time, when you get in the playoffs, it is always nice to play a team that you've never played before.
It is. It's, you know, it's a situation where obviously they know us and we know them, and obviously we know what they're going to do. It's good for our kids' psyche, for number one, because we know we've played with them and we've beat them before. But on the other hand, the only thing harder than beating a team once is beating them a second time. So, yeah, you know, it's going to be a situation where if that's the way it goes, you know, we're going to be very, very excited about getting them back on our home turf again. We were able to, like I said, we got out to a quick start on them earlier on in the season. I think we were up 21-0. On a game I think you guys had. So it's going to be a situation where we know they're a very good team. They're very, very athletic. And if that's who we draw, then we'll pull out our game plans from them, you know, the previous weeks and see what we had drawn up for them.
Shane, will you guys have a team event tonight? What will the North Mac Panthers do this evening?
We're going to meet in the library at the high school there in Verdon. We're going to go ahead and, you know, watch the pairings online. And then as soon as we figure out who it is, I very, very politely told the kids that they would be leaving because we had research to do. So as soon as we figure out what we've got, they're going to go home, and the coaches are going to get to work.
Awesome. Shane, we've always appreciated your time here on Saturday mornings. Best of luck in the postseason, and we will have your playoff run, and we look forward to talking to you next week, sir.
All right. Thank you, guys.
All right. Shane Owsley, the head coach of the North Mac Panthers in North Mac, Carlinville, and Mount Olive.
I guess I shortchanged him with my 99% guarantee.
I think so, David. If a 9-0 team is on the road in the playoffs, something has gone terribly wrong.
Well, you know, in my defense, we're dealing with the IHSA, so
fair.
But yeah, they're okay. I'll go ahead and up it to they're 100% guaranteed a playoff game in week one.
That's right. When really nothing is 100% lock, that is 100% lock.
Yeah, probably right.
Now, even though the playoff pairings and seedings will be announced tonight, the IHSA does have the playoff qualifiers, the 256 teams that will be in the postseason. Those have been decided based on last night's results. And, David, you have the list there. If you want to start with the 5-4 teams, Mount Olive, at least by my calculations, is going to make the postseason.
According to your calculations, there are 201 set teams right now. which means there are 55 available berths left over. According to what Tim has calculated here, Mount Olive sits at number 46 of those 55. Now, at the very bottom of the list, there are a couple of teams who are 4-4 who they probably play today. Those are Galesburg and Hebron, or Alden Hebron, who Auburn actually played just a few weeks ago. Those teams are 4-4, and their playoff points right now are 42 points apiece. So should one or both of those two teams get in, they'll each be 5-4. If they should win, they'll each be 5-4, and they will most likely get in because that's a very high number of playoff points. That will eliminate two of these other teams on the list. However, it looks like Mount Olive is safe being at 46 right now. They have 37 playoff points as it stands, and right now the cutoff is 34. Could be 34, 35, depending on those two other teams. Some other of the teams that are 5-4 that made it, as North Mac head coach Shane Owsley just mentioned, Pleasant Plains, one of those 5-4 teams who gets in. Also, Waynesville and Athens, both 5-4 in the Sangamo Conference. They are going to get in with 41 playoff points apiece. Other area teams, maybe not 5-4. Auburn and Marquette, both, they get in at records of 6-3. Auburn now making the playoffs for the 19th straight season. So what a run Dave Bates has his Auburn Trojans going in. 19 straight playoff appearances. Roxana, they finished the season 7-2. Remember, they started the season 0-2. They won 7 in a row. So they get into the postseason with a 7-2 record. And like Carlinville, Roxana at 7-2 might be looking at a home playoff game. We'll find out more about that this evening when the pairings are announced. New Berlin out of the Sangamo Conference, they are 7-2. They have 39 playoff points. Of course, the points don't matter because of their 7-2 record. What a season the New Berlin Pretzels had in the Sangamo Conference. Civic Memorial at 7-2. They had 42 playoff points, but 7-2, well, good enough to get them into the postseason. Highland also, they are 8-1, so they are in the postseason. Rochester last night, they lost a heartbreaker to Sacred Heart Griffin. They finished the regular season 8-1 and in second place in the Central State 8 Conference, but they are headed to the postseason looking for their sixth straight football state championship. So good luck to Rochester in that quest. Pawnee, one of our area teams in Class 1A, they'll be in Class 1A because they're one of the smallest schools who have qualified for the playoffs. They are 8-1. They won the Prairie State Conference outright, and they're getting in the postseason. And we've got Triad and Carrollton also at 8-1 getting into the postseason, and we have someone on the phone.
We've got Gabe Cesarady, the head coach of Nokomis, on the phone as the Skins finished up 4-5 on the year, so they will not be in the postseason for the first time in a number of years. And, Gabe, we always appreciate your time on Saturday mornings. How are you, sir?
Good. How are you guys doing today?
We're doing well. So when it now appears that 5 wins in the Prairie State would have been good enough on points, when you look back at the season, what are your thoughts?
I mean, we were up and down a lot this year. Like you said, we think 5 wins would have got us in. Now you look back and you look at a player here, look at a player there, or a call here, or a call there. You think you wish would have went your way and you'd have got yourselves in, but you try not to get yourselves in that situation anyway, where one player, one call can make the difference. So we aren't going to make it this year. It's disappointing, but kids played great last night. The way to finish the year, and we had fun last night. They played for nothing but pride, and they showed a lot of it last night. So I was proud of them last night.
And that tells a lot about the character of your kids, and really the quality of your program when there's nothing but pride on the line.
Yeah, and that's we really preach trying to be a family. Our team's a family to us, and like I said, we went out last night and played nothing but school and community and pride, and they played for each other, and they had a blast, and everybody got in the ball game and had fun. So, it was a great way to end the season, even though we wish we were playing, another week or two. But we'll take that win last night and move that ahead to next year because, we had a lot of young guys playing this year. So hopefully they'll take that momentum and, working into the off season and the start of next year.
And football's different than every other sport just because you play so few of games, so any win you get is important for the program.
Yeah, any win and any loss, both, it's huge. You can't, like the other sports, you can lose a few games and work on things, and it doesn't really matter because you're going to the postseason. But, there's no room for mistakes in football, and when you make them, they really cost you. And we had a couple this year that cost us. But overall, like I said, we had a good year, and our young guys developed the way we kind of wanted them to. And so, like I said, hopefully that'll be a springboard for us in the next season.
And Gabe, we talked at the beginning of the year, and you said how your numbers were down from what you had had the last several years. Do you anticipate that maybe next year those numbers will rebound a little bit?
They will. The next couple of years, they will a little bit. I mean, it won't be a huge change next year, but definitely we'll add, you know, 6 or 7 by the time it's over. And maybe more because we had a couple of kids that are older kids that are talking about playing now, too. So we may even get into the, you know, 10 more range this year, which will help us tremendously. We'll take, you know, any kids we can get.
And Gabe, I know your numbers were down, but the seniors that you had on your club, talk about what they've meant to the program, not just this year, but really through their 4 years.
Seniors, I mean, you know, they've been to 3 playoff runs with us. We didn't make it this year, but, I mean, I've talked to them throughout the year, and, of course, again, once again, last night after the game. You know, that you hate to see any group of seniors have to graduate because, you know, over their years here, you get close to them, and they do become your family. I mean, they're just like my boys when they graduate. And they know I love them no matter what happens if we go 9-0 or 0-9. Nothing changes that with me. And, you know, I'll be there for them for the rest of their lives after, you know, what they do for me day in and day out on the football field. So, you know, we're proud of them. You know, they're great kids, and they should not be, you know, not be ashamed of not making the playoffs. Hold their head high, because they still teach these young kids a lot about what it means to be a Redskin, and they've done a great job of it.
And Gabe, for all the great memories that you can have as a high school football coach, standing in front of your team on the field at the end of the year, that has to be one of the hardest things that your job has.
It is. I mean, it's never easy. Like I said, if you're, it doesn't matter what your record is, you get so close to those kids, and you hate to see that group of guys go, and you try to relay that to the younger guys, like, hey, you know, it's over in the blink of an eye. If you don't take the time and enjoy it, it'll be gone before you know it. And, you know, really take advantage of every moment you get out there because, one, football is another sport. Like, it's different from the other sports. Pretty much when you're done playing high school, you're never going to strap up the pads again because you can always go out and play baseball, basketball when you get older. But not many guys you see going out and buying helmets and shoulder pads to go play with their buddies in the backyard.
That probably wouldn't end very well for 30, 40-year-old men.
No, I sure wouldn't.
Gabe Caesar Reddy, we always appreciate your time on Saturday morning, sir. You're a class act. Congratulations on the year. I know it didn't end how you want, but best of luck in the future.
Thank you very much, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, Gabe Caesar Reddy, the Nokomis head football coach, and they're going to wind up one win shy. And earlier in the year, we didn't think that a 5-win Prairie State team was going to get in, but the playoff point total is lower this year than it has been in the past. And you heard Gabe mention it now. You wind up 4-5, and now you're going back thinking about individual plays, certain games, and you got the what if factor.
You got to be careful, though, because that'll drive you crazy.
Oh, it will.
Yeah.
It absolutely will. Well, I heard Ned Yost, they were talking to him, the Kansas City Royals manager, before they had clinched their second pennant, and they asked him when he got over the Game 7 loss in the World Series last year. And he said 2 weeks went by, thought he'd get over it. Month went by, still wasn't over it. 2 months went by, still wasn't over it. Got to spring training, still wasn't over it, and realized that none of his players were over it either.
Yeah. And, you know, for a team that has never won a title or something like that, until they win a title, you know, it probably rests with them for a while. And, you know, obviously Gabe has to, you know, he may not get over it, but I'm sure there will be a time where it won't keep him up at night. Same could be said for Litchfield. You know, Litchfield ended up, they're 4-5, and you look at a couple of their losses during the regular season, Coach Pat Rince could, you know, thought here, thought there, the same situation.
The first two
Hillsboro,
games.
Hillsboro, too. Yeah. Duffy with Hillsboro. I mean, one play here, one play there. Vandalia the same way.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Yeah, when you finish 4-5, you are left just scratching your head and just thinking about what if. And poor Vandalia. Touchdown, a two-point conversion with 8 seconds to play. Now that's vintage Greenville.
That's
vintage.
It is. It very much is. And that's probably the worst way to miss the playoffs in high school football.
I would think so. Yeah. Unless maybe somebody made like a 50-yard field goal somehow in high school. That might be worse, but I don't think I've ever seen a 50-yard field goal in high school. I know I haven't.
I would almost have to just tip my cap, though, at that point. It's just like, oh, you made a 50-yard field goal? Oh, here you go. I mean, it's tough, but man.
2-point conversion, though. That's brutal.
Yeah.
That is brutal. So the playoff picture will be set in stone after tonight, and then we will have the road to DeKalb football playoff preview show for you Monday evening, 7:03, here on your 50,000-watt voice of Mid-Illinois, WQSMI FM 106. We'll be following North Mac. We'll be following Carlinville. And I'm saying Mount Olive is in.
I assume Mount Olive will be in. I mean, we could get a curveball tonight, I guess. But, yeah, I mean, your calculations look solid. I think they're in, but we've been wrong before.
I've been wrong plenty of times. Plenty of times.
I think Mount Olive's in. I don't want to get Mount Olive fans' hopes up.
That's just it right there.
Have them come crashing down
tonight. You said we were in.
Yeah. So it looks like they're in. I won't guarantee them in yet until it's released tonight.
You want to drop the 99% figure on them?
Yeah, let's go 99. let's go 99% because I guess that 1% can't get me in trouble. Right?
That covers you.
Yeah,
that covers you. We need a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we're going to catch up hopefully with Litchfield head coach Pat Rince and talk about the Purple Panther season next on Sports Saturday.
And David Jenkins and Tim Mize back with you on WSMI Sports Saturday, WSMI FM 106.1. Let's go over some more of the final scores from last night's games that we didn't get to. Starting the Prairie State Conference, Nokomis defeated East Alton Wood River last night 41-14. Marquette beat Mount Olive 50-35 in what looked like it was a playoff game. I mean, it sure had that feel. So Marquette defeats Mount Olive 50-35. Marquette, that means they clinch a playoff berth at 6-3. Mount Olive, we thought at 5-4 they would be on the outside looking in. However, it appears they are going to make the postseason with 37 playoff points, as the cutoff right now looks like it's going to be 34. Although that could change, but it's not. It doesn't look like it's going to change drastically enough to eliminate Mount Olive from postseason contention. So as of right now, it looks like Mount Olive is going to be in the playoffs. We'll find out officially tonight. In the South Central Conference, Litchfield did lose last night to Carlinville, 40-21. And, okay, I thought we had Litchfield head coach Pat Rince, but we don't. Okay, more of the Prairie State scores. Pawnee over Metro East Lutheran, 56-8. That's the only other final we had for you. There was another game. It was Bunker Hill and South Fork. South Fork won. I don't remember the score off the top of my head. So
it was a couple touchdowns.
It was a couple touchdowns. So congratulations to the Bunker Hill Minutemen on a fantastic season. They just came up short by, well, it was more than one because they wouldn't have had enough points, playoff points. So
yeah, started 4-0, finished 4-5.
4-5. So good season nonetheless. 4-5 is nothing to.
Not at Bunker Hill.
Not at Bunker Hill.
It's like 9-0.
Were they 4-5 last year?
Yes.
Okay. So just build it up from there, I guess.
One winning season, I do believe, in all the program's years.
One. How long has the program been around?
Oh, boy. Let's see. The first year was my senior year, 1999. They had a JV campaign that year.
It's still a relatively new program. That's not that old, 99.
No. Thank you for that. Thank you.
Sangamo Conference scores for you. As we mentioned, North Mac perfect on the season, 9-0. They defeated Porta last night 56-12. Athens defeated Pleasant Plains last night 50-35, and that one was, you know, back and forth all night. It was tied 35-35. Pleasant Plains had the ball with a chance to go up with 2.5 minutes left in the game. They fumbled. Athens returned all the way to the house for a touchdown to put them up 42-35, and Athens obviously got another touchdown to make it 50-35. And that looked like that was going to be a disaster for Pleasant Plains, as they were 5-3 heading into the game. They looked like they weren't going to have enough playoff points as well, but because the playoff point total is so low, they are in. And as North Mac head coach Shane Owsley mentioned, it looks like North Mac could play Pleasant Plains in the first round. We will find out more about that tonight. Auburn got the win over Pittsfield last night, 41-8, so Auburn into the postseason for the 19th straight year. New Berlin defeated West Hancock 28-26, and Williamsville defeated Riverton 57-14.
Now we've got Litchfield head coach Pat Rince with us here on WSMI Sports Saturday. And Pat, as always, thank you for some time on this Saturday morning.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Well, let's talk a little bit about this season. All in all, you have to like the direction of your program.
Yeah, it's a tough way to go out, but to be there in a position week 9 to be fighting for a playoff spot, it was a fun season and very proud of the young men. And of course, there was a lot of heartbreak last night, but I thought that was a good reflection of where we're at and how much the young men wanted to make the playoffs and how they wanted to get the thing turned around. And So a lot of positives to take away from it.
The game was tied, of course, at halftime, and it seems to me that you just kind of have to tip your hat to Carlinville. They really did a good job of making a halftime adjustment on Connor Simmons.
Yes, absolutely. They made some adjustments and made it tougher for us to move the ball down the field. And of course, we had a couple turnovers that didn't help either. We knew Carlinville was going to be tough. They're a good team, and you know they've battled through a lot of adversity this year, and they're kind of battle tested. And we knew they weren't going to just lay down because it was 21-0. You know they were going to come out fired up as well. And but yeah, I was also really proud of our guys. I mean, going into a game where you're the underdog, it's probably, you know, if you lose, it's going to knock you out of the playoffs. But I never felt like our guys went into the game saying, well, you know, that it's been a nice season, we'll just kind of wrap it up here. You know, they went after Carlinville with everything they had, and went into the game wanting to win the game. And I think that's why I told them, I said, I appreciated, you know, making themselves vulnerable. You know, they went for it, even though the probability might have said otherwise. They made themselves vulnerable, and it hurt when we lost. But it's kind of a special night. So.
Absolutely. And from a coaching staff perspective, when you see kids that have given so much to the program over the years without really a lot of success to show for it, it has to be nice for them to be able, even though they lost last night, to be able to go out with a playoff-style game.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, playing meaningful games throughout the whole season. That's been fun. It's been fun to be at practice throughout the week and to show up on Friday night. To be competing for the postseason, and that's a credit to the hard work those guys have put in, and their just kind of their sacrifice for Friday night. We've had some tough grinded out games where we've come out on top, and that's a credit to the young men for continuing to fight and never giving up.
Pat, you've had a lot of great seniors who are going to be leaving, but talk a little bit about Connor Simmons. The night he had last night and the career he had, the numbers may not necessarily be there, but he's got to go down probably as one of the best football players the Litchfield program has ever seen.
Yeah, he's a special talent. 4-year starter for us. Freshman year, he was a defensive starter. And then kind of from then on out, was playing both sides of the ball. So he's going to be tough to replace, for sure. And, you know, we, as coaches, we often look at other teams and say, man, isn't this kid graduated yet? Isn't this kid gone? Man. And you just have the feeling that Connor's been one of those guys for Litchfield football where the other coaches say, man, I thought he was a senior last year. So it's going to be tough. And man, there's 14 of those guys that played their last Litchfield football game last night that have really done some good things for our program. And it's going to be tough to say goodbye to those guys.
And Pat, when you wind up 4-5, it's easy for coaches, players, and fans, I think, to probably just look back at the season and kind of cherry pick some moments. And for me, I think you guys had a 6-point lead week one at Greenville. Seaball and Simmons started to cramp. And then week two at home against Gillespie, a tie game, you give up a 99-yard drive. And when you wind up one game out, I would imagine those types of things will make you think a little bit.
They absolutely do. And it's funny you mentioned those as we were heading into the latter portion of the season. I even told the team and coaches, I said, I don't want to hear anybody say, well, if we would have beat Gillespie, or man, if we would have beat Greenville. I said, you know, there'll be a time for that, but right now we got to focus on the team ahead. And but there's no doubt that's part of the equation. You know, you look back and you say, okay, well, man, if that could have went our way, or so and so doesn't cramp, you know, maybe that's a different game. But the other side of that coin is we played in three close games. Two of them come down to the last play. Most coaches are saying the same thing.
Right.
Man, if we could have moved the ball 5 more yards, you know, Vandelli beats Litchfield, you know. So it's easy to look back and play that game. But in the big picture, it was a fun season where we were competing and put ourselves in a position each Friday night to be able to come out with a win. And that was just fun to be a part of that. and know each Friday night we were going out to win and compete and give it our best shot.
And to that point, there wasn't a single game this season that you guys weren't in, even some of your losses. Obviously, last night, the scoreboard didn't reflect how close it was, but even like the game at Pena, you were in that one at halftime, too, only down by 13 points. You have to be extremely proud of being in every single game this season.
Oh, I'm very proud of the guys. I mean, that's big, and that's a big part of our message. It's a big part of any coach's message, but you don't, as an athlete, as a competitor, you don't ever want to look at who you're playing and say, okay, well, this is probably going to be a loss. Let's look towards next week, you know. And man, we don't care. We want to show up and play. And to be honest, I mean, our guys kind of took on the role of, man, we want to play the big dogs. We want to play Pena when they're undefeated at home. We want to go show them that we can play. We want to play Carlinville for a chance to win the playoffs. You know, those are the games. That's why you're an athlete. That's why you're a competitor. For that big game atmosphere, the high pressure, the tough competition, it brings out the best in you as well. And I think you could see from the attitude and the characteristics of our boys, you know, on the field on Friday night, that they really kind of took that philosophy to heart.
And Pat, it's pretty obvious that the tide is turning with the Litchfield program. You deserve a lot of the credit for that. We always appreciate your time on Saturday morning, sir. Congratulations on a fantastic season, and enjoy your off season.
Thank you, guys. I'm home this morning wrestling with my boys.
Nice.
When normally we'd be watching film, so it's good to have that too. But of course, we're going to be missing some football here, and so it's kind of a bittersweet ending.
Well, you get your fill of the Dolphins tomorrow.
Oh, I'm not sure that's going to bring me much joy either.
Pat Rentz, thank
you. Confidence, though.
That's right. Thank you so much for your time this morning, sir, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys. Have a great week.
All right. Pat Rentz, the head coach of the Litchfield Purple Panthers. And, you know, David, so much of football is attitude. And you can tell that the attitude and the mentality of Litchfield has been different mm-hmm. since day one under mm-hmm. Pat Rentz.
Yeah. And I brought it up for this year, but it doesn't just go for this year. Like, since he took over, they've been in just about every single game that they've played. So, he's got to be incredibly proud of the job that he's done, although he probably won't.
He doesn't toot his own horn.
Yeah, he'll give it to all the players, but most of the credit has to be given. Well, not most, but a lot of the credit has to be given his way.
Well, that's something I've noticed about Pat when you talk to him. It's always we. Mm-hmm. It's never he, me, never they.
Yeah,
we.
One special moment last night, whenever he called the timeout as the clock was winding down to have his seniors and his starters come off the field arm in arm.
Yeah, that was a very cool moment. They got a nice ovation as they came off last night. So. The regular season is done. We always talk about how fast it goes, and it's true every year. 9 weeks in the books, and we'll know how it's all going to shake out here beginning tonight when they will announce the seedings and the pairings, and then we will have the Road to DeKalb Monday night, 7:03, right here on WSMI FM 106, as we will be talking to our playoff-bound coaches here on WSMI Sports Saturday. We got the Illini this afternoon, David. They will be hosting Wisconsin. That'll be live at 1:30 right here on WSMI FM 106. Illinois coming off of the bye week, and we'll see if they can knock off the Badgers this afternoon. 1:30 pregame, 2:30 kick here on WSMI FM 106. And, of course, as far as our playoff coverage goes, we will have the broadcast schedule set for you on Monday when we figure out who our local teams are playing and where they are going. North Mac will certainly have a home game at 9-0. Carlinville has a shot at a home game at 7-2. Mount Olive at 5-4. Looks like they will be in, but they will most certainly be on the road. But you know what? Home, road, it does not matter. You are one of the 256 at the end of 9 weeks. You stand up, rejoice, and go where the eye, as you say, tells you to go. That's it here for WSMI Sports Saturday. We want to thank all of our area coaches who joined us this morning. Congratulations to Jacob Dixon. He is the all-time single-season rushing leader at Carlinville High School, as he set that record last night. For David Jenkins, I am Tim Mize. Sports Saturday is done on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois, WSMI FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville, the station you can count on.